Go Dave.
Dave.
Go Dave.
Go Dave.
Dave.
Go Dave.
Dave.
Go Dave.
Dave. Dave. Dave. Dave. Dave. Dave. Dave. Dave.
Dave.
Dave.
Dave.
Looky, looky. Here is Dave Cookie.
Hello, Dave Cookie.
Good morning, Invasion.
Oh, you got that nice morning voice.
I know. You sound all sexy and stuff,
God,
man.
I'd wake up next to you.
All right. Next camp out.
What are you talking about? We're going to camp here in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we can just share a room.
There we go. Okay.
We did have a bed one time to see. I can't remember who was rooming with Norm. I may have been rooming with Norm. I don't remember, but I don't know what the amount was, but we had Killer get into to bed with Norm. When he woke up, it didn't get the reaction that everyone thought it was going to get.
He just snuggled?
No, he didn't snuggle, but, you know, the surprise, what the heck are you doing here, anything like that, just didn't happen. He just kind of looked over and saw Killer, and then he just kind of laid back down. He was tired. Like, man, that the payoff just didn't work out like we thought it was going to work out.
It's amazing.
We're knocking.
Did I remember correctly that Norm had a CPAP machine?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. I couldn't remember. I think Corby said he got stuck rooming with Norm a couple times.
I wouldn't call it stuck. Norm's a good roommate. Especially if you have the separate sleeping quarters, but you share the living area. It's great.
That's fine.
We went to San Antonio for training camp one time.
As long as you have your own bathroom.
Yes. I would believe so.
I would say your own bed.
Yeah, there's not a time where we had to share beds. We had to share rooms, but
you just never
beds.
Know.
The budget was never that low.
No, but hey, you know what? You just never say never. We have no idea what the future holds. But we were in San Antonio, and my wife came down for the weekend because we stayed for a couple of weeks. And I was at the Alamo Dome for after practice grabbing some audio when she arrived. So I just say, hey, go to the room. I think Norm is there. And when he answered the door, he just had the running shorts on with no top. And then when he saw Twig at the door, he went in for a nice big old hug.
That's fantastic.
with Twig. And then when I got there, she was in my room just kind of sitting on the bed, rocking back and forth a bit.
Why not?
Are you okay? She was like, oh, we need to leave. I think she was traumatized.
Cold water pouring over her.
She had turned ghost white.
she got the topless Norm hug.
Okay.
Not even a side hug, like a full-on front hug?
Oh, it was full-on front. She definitely went for the side hug. And then he offered her a glass of wine, and she was like, yeah, you know, I'll just wait in the room for
I'm good, thank you.
Like Ben Stiller in Welcome to Polly when he's playing pickup basketball.
Yeah, and gets that sweat face from that dude
with all
that
hair on him. Yeah, gets the guy's chest
him.
All through his face.
God, I just watched that movie like 2 weeks ago.
I've never
it's
seen
great.
That movie.
Along Came Polly, yeah. With Jennifer Aniston and Ben Stiller.
I feel like it's a trip into white people land if I watch Along
Came Polly. No, Philip Seymour Hoffman, you will appreciate.
Well, yeah, I will?
He's very good in it. He's very good.
It's perhaps his best role.
He's fantastic.
What other roles can you name?
Well, he won an Academy Award for Best Actor for Capote. He played Dusty in Boogie Nights. Fantastic.
Oh, okay. I remember that.
And he also was Twister. The prank caller. The erotic prank caller in Happiness. Gordon's
yeah, he was fantastic in Happiness. He was
he
very
had an
good
interesting
in
way of attaching postcards to the wall.
Yes, he was very good in The Talented Mr. Ripley.
All the movies you guys have named, I've seen one, and that was Boogie Nights.
I think he was a bad guy in Mission Impossible 3, if I recall correctly.
You've seen Twister? Yeah. He's in Twister.
I have not seen Twister.
Really?
No.
Did you see the sequels?
No,
I did,
I
Daddy.
Haven't.
Thank you.
They're
solid.
No, I haven't. It's serious.
Philip Seymour Hoffman for a while. I would have put him in. I thought top okay,
fine,
three
whatever.
Living actors. Like he was just elite level.
Why is Daddy so mad at me?
He's sorry. Mad.
Okay. Oh, thank you. You know what? I accept.
Jeez, dude.
You can't stay mad quick. At you.
I'm having a full conversation with Daddy right now, and he's not even here.
Yeah.
So that's you. Viewed him as top three in your...
I thought so. Him, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Tom Hanks, I thought for a time. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman, his range, because he could play just so many different roles. He won an Academy Award. He was brilliant as Capote. And you
capote.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dish capote. At a restaurant.
Capote. But he was so, I mean,
pass the capote. Please.
You look at the character that he played in Boogie Nights, and then you look at Capote, or you look at the talented Mr. Ripley, or Flawless, or Happiness, or Patch Adams. So many different roles with such variety and range. Man, he was.
Do you
on
agree
point.
With this entertainment news?
God, Doubt. He was phenomenal in Doubt.
Yeah, I would say pound for pound, maybe the best range in the history of film, because, you know, when you talk about like Robin Williams, yeah, he did serious roles like Good Morning Vietnam and Dead Poets Society, whatever, but he was always a comedian that was playing serious, right. You know? And yeah. Then like Tom Hanks or somebody like that, when they're doing a comedic role, yeah, it's funny, but he's not like funny. But Philip Seymour Hoffman, he could be so knocked down hilarious, but he could also play really important, serious roles. So I thought his range puts him definitely at the top. He was gone too soon, bro.
Way too soon. And he was essentially a character actor that ended up having like these lead roles, because you don't see character actors that have that type of range win Academy Awards a lot of the time, especially for Best Actor. He was phenomenal. And I miss him because I knew him so well.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had
you should watch Along Came Polly.
That's the one I should watch out of all the movies you guys named with him.
You should watch all the ones we just named. Just have a Philip Seymour Hoffman weekend.
Yeah, why would I do that?
But as far as rom-coms go, I think Along Came Polly is very good and extremely underrated.
I agree.
All right, I'm going to write it down.
And it's an easy watch. It's quick. It's got, what's her face? What's I forget her name. The girl that he got married to at the beginning. Oh, Deborah Messing. She's the one that...
From Will and Grace. Isn't that...
Yes. No, you're correct. From Will and Grace.
And what's the guy from The Simpsons? Hank Azaria.
Yeah, Hank
plays
Azaria.
Plays the scuba instructor.
Yeah, he's always fantastic, but he's good in this.
Yeah, he got so ripped.
He did for that role. He did.
All right, I'm going to watch this, and I feel like if it's bad, I'm gonna let you guys hear about it.
I want to hear about it.
I think it's solid. It to me, it doesn't blow me away, but I've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, you went from it's a must watch to now it doesn't blow you away.
I think you should watch it. It's worth watching.
Well, if it's important for one reason and one reason only, that Philip Seymour Hoffman coined the phrase shart.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's where it started?
And it has
the first appearance in the English language, I believe.
And it has peak Jennifer Aniston, so you can't go wrong with her.
Is that word in the dictionary now?
Shart?
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I wish we knew.
I assume that it's a
because
word.
They always adjust to the new words that are out. And if we truly, truly need to know the meaning.
Yeah, according to Merriam-Webster.
It's in
Webster's dictionary.
Yeah.
There's no way that's a word.
It does note that it's often vulgar, though.
It says it's an accidental expulsion of feces along with an expulsion of intestinal gas.
See? Which is true. It's true. It's happened to everybody at some point.
I know. I know. That's why it should be in the dictionary.
Yeah, that's why you never trust a fart.
Right. Well, I think sometimes you feel like you know it's just going to be air, and then sometimes you're not sure, so you got to hold it in.
Well, you have to trust it. You have to, because you have 10,000 of them that are just true to exactly what you wanted to do. And it's just that one shouldn't have you trusting everything else. It's like a relationship.
Sometimes you know. You can feel.
You can't let that one ruin everything from the relationships you have in the future.
Yeah, but if you do have a lack of trust, you have to let off the pressure easy, like you're opening up a 2-liter bottle that you know has been shaken up.
That you just dropped on the floor.
Yeah,
you just got to ease it open.
You gently lean to the side.
Yeah.
Well, you'll just put that 2-liter like in a sink. Just to be careful. So if you feel like that's happening inside of your belly, do you go sit down because you don't trust it?
It's an extreme situation. Yeah, you probably should.
I'm pretty sure it happened to me on Friday where I was like, man, I don't think this will just be air when we were out at that golf tournament. Because I was like, I'm afraid to find out. And sure enough, I got home. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't try to find out.
Well, you know, I'm gonna reveal something about myself, really.
Because you are the expert, I feel.
Well, I don't know if this is just a symptom of getting older, because this is definitely something that has happened to me post 50 and post the colonoscopy era.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been times where I have trusted and I have thought that I got away with it. Like, oh, that was just a fart.
Oh, okay.
And then maybe an hour, 2 hours later, when I visit the facilities, I realize, no. That was not, in fact, a clean release.
How do you not know?
Yeah, you don't feel that it's different?
Dave?
No, it's not. I guess it's not enough.
Okay.
To know it's different.
You don't get like a little itchy or anything?
Well, it's not. I guess it hasn't been long enough to get diaper rash.
Okay. What did they do to you in your colonoscopy that I feel like something, something went terribly wrong to where you lost some feeling back there?
They widened you out?
Well, I had like a twofer. You know how they have like a mommy makeover where they do like a tummy tuck and a breast augmentation.
Okay, sure.
So I got the twofer. I got the colonoscopy and the hemorrhoid removal.
Okay.
So they did it all at once.
Well, that's fun.
Well, one should be a prerequisite for the other, almost like a college course. Like, you can't take one course without taking the other one first.
It feels like you'd go hemorrhoid removal first, right?
I think it messed you up back there, man. I've heard too many instances to where you have
I'm
no idea
I'm
something's happening
Dave.
Back there until it's way too late.
The doctor accidentally used the IMAX camera.
4K.
Yeah, he had to go.
The ultra 4K.
He had to
4K.
Go fetch the camera by hand.
It's Christopher Nolan going in there. Oh, okay.
I can't see anything in
here.
Wow, let's
go
get the wide lens.
World's best farter.
So they print out his colonoscopy. It's in widescreen. You're like, oh, this is interesting. It's a new format.
Have both of you had your first or second?
Oh, yeah.
I had one many years ago. I need to go and have another one, they say.
It's a great nap.
Well, did good God.
Uh-oh.
Did you do the propofol? The Michael Jackson?
I believe so,
anesthetic.
Whatever it is that when they say countdown from 10 and you don't remember getting to 9,
but you're not fully asleep supposedly, right? You just forget.
Well, it's like perfectly timed out. So 45 minutes later you wake up in the recovery room and you're wide awake,
which is not crazy.
You're groggy.
Right.
It's just your eyes open, and you don't remember anything from when you were counting down from 10.
And why is it that I feel like the first question, and if you ever go under that or surgery or anything, when is it's over? You guys already did it? You're like, yeah. Because when I had my hernia surgery, you just wake up. You're like,
because the last thing you remember is prepping yourself for it. I was like, okay, that's done. That's it.
And in 1 second,
because it feels
you,
like it's, yeah, right. It feels and, like it's 2 minutes instead of an hour or two.
And you always shiver, and they got to put those blankets all over you.
Like you just finished a marathon.
Yeah, I mean, I've had surgery a few times. It's a weird bit.
Well, Dave,
pray for me.
I will.
We will.
And I don't know if there's something that someone needs to invent to tighten things up, but I'll get it for you for birthday, Christmas, whatever you need, because I worry about you and your accidents.
Yeah,
well,
why couldn't
it's been a while. I think probably the last time was the white elephant story.
Yeah, and that means, that was amazing to see that happening and hearing that in person, to where it's already at the bottom of your jeans before you even realize that
something's happening. Yeah, that was amazing.
They were joggers.
Well, whatever. At the bottom, it's at your ankle before you know. It tapped your ankle and said, hello.
Out.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah, you might need the tummy tuck except for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rectal rejuvenation.
Yeah, whatever they call it.
You need some snapback. That's what you need.
Mm-hmm. A tightening of sorts.
All right. Let's
yeah, hit. Just a rubber band inserted.
You need the extra stitch.
Davey.
Okay.
Davey.
Dave.
I'm sorry it went there.
Loose Davey. Davey.
Watch Along Came Polly.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I'll watch it this report week, back. And I'll have a movie report on Along Came Polly.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Happy to join.
That's Davey.
Thanks, Dave.
The signal for today. The news with Travis is at 10:30. Well, let's talk some stars coming up next here on The Ticket.